It's your own effort to reach the great monarch of Zion. Find your words. Make your heart into words and adorn him. Adorn him. Adorn him. We give you praise. Forget about your neighbor, the person sitting by your side. He may not be interested. She may not be interested. But find your words and adorn his majesty. We give you praise. We give you glory. We celebrate your greatness. We celebrate your mightiness, O King of nations. Be magnified, be glorified. O Lord, accept the fruit of our lips, the offerings of our hearts, O God. My sotela brinda kanze uria babala. Meso santoria brahmina kambesika bobola hatamina. We give you praise. We give you praise. In another moment, can you begin to express to him your petition? Lord, this is what I desire of you. Place your petition before him right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Can someone celebrate Jesus and glorify him? We salute his majesty. We acknowledge that his dominion is from sea to sea. Hallelujah. In the book of Matthew, an attempt is made. Meanwhile, Philip, the battery of my Bible just died. So, no, give me my phone. I don't understand your Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. In the book of Matthew, Jesus is presented to us as a king. When man fell, there were only two options available to God. The first option was to take one of us from the earth and take such one to heaven for recalibration, for education, for rewiring, and to bring one of us, that one that has gone and has experienced rewiring, to come back here to educate the rest of us. Or to bring one from heaven to come into the earth and teach us how God intended man to function, having his command tower domiciled in the third heavens. And so the option that God chose was option two. He decided to deploy a heavenly personality called the Word of God to come dwell among the sons of men. And the objective of this initiative of God was an attempt to show us how God intended for man to operate through the examples that flowed out of the life of Jesus. So the book of Matthew is the book of the kingdom. It will interest you to know that in that book there is a phrase that is used that is not used in any other book in the Bible. I know you know what I'm talking about. The kingdom of heaven. You see, it becomes more complex when you read it from the Greek. If I had a board, I would have written it down for you. You will see that in the Greek it is written in the plural, the kingdom of the heavens. And it is only the book of Matthew that uses that rendition. The revelation of God contained in the book of Matthew is that God wants us to be regulated by a throne that is domiciled in the third heavens. And he gives us ample examples of how a kingdom man who is under the influence of that throne will relate to natural society. He shows us how a kingdom man will relate to other people. Shows us how a kingdom man will relate with finances. Shows us how a kingdom man will relate to people that are ready to persecute him, to revile him. But the epicenter of this kingdom personality is the throne of God domiciled in the third heavens that regulates him on the inside through the Holy Ghost. So someone comes to you, and that person is trying to destroy the church that is committed into your hands. You have seen evidences, you have seen situations, you have seen circumstances, and you are not allowed in the kingdom to deal with the person ruthlessly as the person deserves, because you are under a regulation of the throne of God. And so Jesus begins to bring perspective to us. That if you are under the influence, for instance, of the kingdom of heaven, I need to read the scripture to you. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. If you are under the influence of the throne of God that is domiciled in the heavenlies, this will be your attitude towards other people. A kingdom man. That you will find all of this summarized in the book of Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. It's an illustration of the kingdom lifestyle. A strange race of men bound to serve Jesus Christ in a hostile world. A world that has decided to isolate and exalt philosophies that are contrary to the way of Christ. So in every age, people that decide to subscribe to the government of that throne which is in the heavens will suffer persecution, because their life will come acutely contrary to the norm of society. Sometimes Jesus uses very powerful words, such as, I have not come to bring peace. Come to bring a sword. And you wonder what he's talking about. He's saying, just in case you decide to subscribe to the way of the kingdom of God, you are going to suffer persecution. In fact, it might be that your foes will be the members of your household. There were many, many brethren, I don't know about here, who were living from home just because they said yes to Jesus. And so we had to make our houses open to such people, and also to make everything that was required available to ensure that they were not disadvantaged on the account of their fraternity with Jesus, their alignment with Jesus. That's a reason for the local expression of the body of Christ. It's supposed to be a family. A family that is bound by covenant to Jesus Christ, which is supposed to be stronger than our earthly families. I I have brethren in the body of Christ that know much more about me than all my siblings put together. Because I understand that God was trying to set up another family when he conceived the idea of the church. So just, can you give your neighbor a handshake and say, I don't care what church you belong to, but as far as in Jesus we stand, if by grace through faith we are the same, then you are my brother, give me a hand. Amen. So Jesus comes to change our perspective that is rooted in our culture. He comes to give us a new way of life. And this way of life has a secret in the fact that we pay obeisance to a throne that is domiciled in the third heavens. Our allegiance, we dance to the beat of a different drummer, we pledge our allegiance to a different flag. And when you see men of that kind, they will be offensive to the systems of this age. And that's why the body of Christ has tales of persecution from age to age, and our time will not be different. But our covenant with our Master and our King is so deep that the power of persecution cannot cause us to break covenant with him. For Apostle Paul said, what can separate us from the love of God? I don't know if you have sensed what the love of God is, if you have perceived it, if you have drank of the love of God. It reaches so deep into the very fiber of your being that you are compelled by that love to be loyal to Jesus. Oh my. So that's the layout of the book of Matthew. It's a strong book. It's a book of government that pedestals Jesus as a king to a great kingdom. A kingdom that is not of this world. And because the kingdom is not of this world, that was why he did not ask his men to fight to ensure that he was not captured. There was nothing you could do to the kingdom just because you get him captured, because his kingdom was not of this world. He brought a new perspective to life. And I'd like to introduce you to it in a moment of time as I welcome you to this healing service tonight. Hallelujah. He sets up an occasion for us to experience a shift in our thought paradigm. Maybe I need to invite you to the book of Matthew chapter 6. If you are there, say amen. Of all the things that Jesus taught in the book of Matthew, no one was as strong as what he emphasized in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. If the man on the desk has Matthew 6, 24, just put it on the screen, seeing that the battery of my Bible just died. It says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else they will hold to the one and despise the other. Then he brings the real emphasis. You cannot serve God and mammon. He said you might attempt to serve God and mammon, but you would not succeed. Can you imagine such strange, such strong words? You cannot. The first thing I need to draw from this scripture is that The same way God demands for human worship, Mammon demands for human worship. And if you want to see or know if you are in the service of God, you need to check your allegiance to Mammon. And if you are totally weaned from the influence of Mammon, it means that you are actually in the service of God. Jesus says, where a man's heart is... No, sorry. That was me. It was me that said that. The scripture says, where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also. But I'm saying that where a man's heart is, there his treasure will be also. So if it's true that your heart is in the Lord's service, we will know because your treasure will be in the Lord's service. Do you know Z-World? Hallelujah. Someone knows Z-World here. He can love stuff. He can love all kinds of things. The heart is a love organ, but it's untamed. The heart can fall in love with money. And it gives you 1,000 reasons to remain in Canary Wharf for 24 hours. So that you can clean out, you can cash out. But at the end of the day, you'll find you are actually in the service of a very terrible tax master. Jesus opens our eyes to so many things. And this is a great one. Where a man's heart treasure is, there his heart will be also. Now I said this, and I didn't want to say this after preaching, when there's anointing. It will be manipulation. The presence of God will be there. You have already yielded to God. So if I say this then, I've manipulated you. I'm an old pastor. I know the way pastors manipulate people. I'm very old in pastor. Forget about the way my face looks. We began to holler Jesus from a very young age, that we did not even have time to sin, to explore the world. Yeah, we followed him until we began to grow dead, and now they are white. It's a long time. So one of the things that kingdom people will do is that they will intentionally invest treasure to the end that the kingdom of God will be advanced in their time. Any time sacrifice ceases in your life, it means that your efforts to extend the frontiers of the kingdom has ceased. The kingdom of God will only advance when there is sacrifice on the ground. You must have heard my teaching, things that can impress spirit beings. Your whole life of priesthood is connected to things that have the capacity to speak in the realm invisible. So you will see men like David that was trained by Samuel the prophet. When you see David talking, he's talking from an informed position. It was David that longed to drink from the waters of Bethlehem, from the waters in his village, the waters that they drank from when they were young people. And he desired that he was in captivity. He was running away for his life. And he longed to drink from the waters of Bethlehem one more time. And the mighty men that were under his hand took his desire as a command. It takes 5 years to raise a legionnaire that is effective and fluent with the use of the sword and shield. But these guys were 12 years in training. They were looking for an opportunity to test their strength. And when David said, can you, oh my God, that someone will bring to me water from the well of Bethlehem. They say, yes, sir. Let's try it out. Meanwhile, it was a garrison of the Philistine soldiers that kept the territorial integrity of the well. And three mighty men were going to get water. How did they do? How did they stand 2,000 soldiers? Okay, when one of the guys left to fetch water, it means only two swords were left. And those of you that know what it takes to bring water from a well, especially in Zaria, in Sokoto, my Nigerian brothers can, they don't understand what I'm talking about. This is not Sokoto, this is Middle East. So there was one soldier that was down. And when the soldier came back with water, he couldn't fight again because the water was spilled. How did they do it to come back with water? I don't know. But when they came back with the water to David, David refused to drink. He poured it out as a libation. Because from his training, he knew that that was no longer water. That was the blood of the men that jeopardized their lives. So he poured it out as a libation to God. Because he knows that the extent of sacrifice that was put into getting that water has made it an abomination for human beings to do subsequently. So all the details required for you to participate in this aspect of the service will be displayed on the screen. For those of you that have cash, offering baskets are going to be passed across. The purpose of the offerings is so that we can attend to the numerous administrative requirements that are required for us to sustain this level of service delivery. Amen. So we have the details for those of you that want to use bank transfers. If you're going to come the way of cash, then the ushers will hand you an envelope. While you are doing that, you know, I told you to go pray and find out if you want to be a partner with us. If you have come under that conviction and you want to be a partner, then you will request this document from the ushers. This document includes the brochure, which is the reason for which we want you to be a partner. It is clearly spelled out in this brochure. Alright? Then the actual act of partnership requires that you fill this administrative end of the form. And when you have so done, you restore it to the ushers. This form is yours, but this one will have to come back to us for administrative purposes. When you make a commitment that you want to give this amount or that amount and in this frequency, nobody will call you to ask why have you not given. No. It's an agreement between you and God. So we'll not pester you to say, oh, you've not responded. No. If you don't intend to respond, there is no need for you to identify that you are going to be a partner. Okay? But by all means, we are planning to get our own venue so that we can deploy the full range of service delivery that Jesus has committed to us. So stand with us to achieve that purpose. Okay, the man on the console, the computer, give me Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, as we begin to journey tonight. So give your offerings. I'll just say a word of prayer. Then we'll go into a little Bible study. I was doing a teaching this morning. Many of you were, I don't know if you understood what I was talking about, but I want to add muscle to it so that you understand what I'm talking about. And somewhere during the course of this meeting, the glory of God is going to come mightily. Yes. The dimensions of God will be trapped here. And many strange things will begin to take place. If you're still with me, say amen. I noticed that the grace on our choir has increased. Yeah. All your petition before the Lord, He will grant it in the name of Jesus. He will grant it. While the offering baskets are still going round, we will labor with this song as we worship it. From the rising of the sun to the good setting of the day,
your day is to be hallowed.
From the rising of the sun till the setting of the sun, your name is to be hallowed. Lord, we ask tonight that you will take over the microphone. Think through my thoughts, speak through my vocal cords. Reach the heart of everyone here. Plant in us such seeds that cannot die. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay. Matthew chapter 18, we'll begin from verse number 18. We'll do Bible study for 30 minutes. After 30 minutes, I believe I should have made a complete sense on the subject matter. And then we'll shift to the practical session. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Now, verse 20 is an explanation of the fact of why verse 19 is valid. That explanation is my interest tonight. All right? Verse 20 is education. It's taking us into the engineering that supports the principle that he unveils in verse number 19. He says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, so the first thing there is what we call the quorum of witness. The principle of witness exists in the Old Testament. You must have seen that. And in order for a matter to be established as true, we must bring two or three witnesses. That is the requirement of the justice system that was obtainable in the Old Testament scenario. For instance, if we have a theological debate here, and we want to understand the mind of God concerning an issue of controversy, it's very simple. We will look for You know, the Bible is a very unique book. It has one author, but many writers. The reason why it has one author and many writers is so that it will not be capable of private interpretation. And what I mean by private interpretation is giving a scripture a unique meaning that is contrary to every other scripture. For instance, we went for a conference somewhere and someone was reading the book of Acts of the Apostles. And he identified how that the apostles were in one accord. And say, you would drive a Honda Accord. Now, may the Lord give you understanding. That's a private interpretation. It is not supported by any other witness whatsoever. You cannot establish it on one witness. So, you know, there are many writers. Are you still with me? Stay with me. There are many writers, but there's one author. There's one spirit that is bearing witness. But many people picked his witness and penned it down under his supervision. Are you there? So if we want to know the mind of the Holy Ghost, we will consult other writers so that we can understand fully what the witness that came from the Spirit of God actually was. Are you there? Hence, the principle of witness and the principle of the basic quorum. It says, for where two or three are gathered. Now, someone established a doctrine on a certain scripture, just one scripture. And he could not find any other scripture in the entire Bible that supports that position. Meanwhile, it's a hardline doctrine in that denomination. So I said, no. You are not that strong as a human being that you can come and say, this is what God is saying. No, we will not believe you. We know the Bible, we don't know you. We don't know where you came from. So if you want to access the mind of God, then we must provide doctrine emphasis according to the rules of the Bible, because the Bible has its own logic. The Bible doesn't need you to be wise for it. It has its own logic. It has its own way of explaining things. And one of those ways is that we must adopt principle of witness, which requires that every matter is established at the mouth of what? Two or three witnesses. So I said, since there is controversy, can you look for two other scriptures from two other writers? Contrary to this, your own writer. Look for other, maybe Jeremiah, Isaiah, Zechariah, and let's support this your position. And they couldn't find it. So I told him that if you can't find it, it means what you mean that scripture means is not what it means. Because there is no witness to it. For instance, we are sons of the prophets, all of us here. As long as you have the Holy Ghost in you, you are prophetic. You can access the mind of God. You can prophesy. You can pick things from God and say them accurately. So in a congregation like this, are you there? Are you with me now? Some of you even came here. And before you got into this place, you knew the scripture I would start with. Because we all have access to the Spirit of God who happens to be the author of the Bible. So there is no stream of revelation you want to bear that you are an exclusive voice in that theater. There are other people that have access to the same economy. Are you there? So, and it doesn't matter who violates the Bible, that person is wrong. Even if you are the bishop of... Because the Bible says, let God be true and let every man be a liar. The Bible has its own logic. It's on the strength of this that we defend the truth. Because we understand the principles by which truth is established. And it's a perspective that the body of Christ knows no longer. So anything goes now as truth. Any shameful thing can be truth. Because our culture, our way of testing things is no longer known to the average believer. And when someone wants to really become terrible, He hides under the name prophet. Okay, receiving it from heaven. Listen to me, the Spirit of God cannot operate outside of the Logos. So you need to know the Logos well in order for you to be able to discern what the Spirit of God is doing. God will not support any adventure that is contrary to His nature. For instance, God is not a thief. If you find yourself in stealing, no matter the name it is called these days, you know, there are many sublime words that are used to make sin not so sinful. God is not a thief. So you cannot say you are stealing and you're on God's side. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus Christ. So, we have a situation here. It says, go back to 19, then we'll read into 20. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. The thing they agree on, the thing that they request for in agreement, will receive the endorsement of heaven, the stamp of heaven. Why? He said, for where two or three are gathered, these guys are not assembled, as I said this morning. What are they? They are gathered. In order for you to achieve gathering, there must be something in the circumference of the gathering. Something must have ignited the gathering. Something must have initiated the gathering. Just like the Bible says that where the carcass is, there's, are you there? There, the eagles fly high. But if you want to get them to gather, their place is up there. If you want to get them to gather, there must be something that has died. They can smell the scent of death, and the scent of death will attack them. Say, there, in that location. The eagles. They will be gathered. There is something that is behind our gathering. It's not a football match. Are you there? There's a fragrance of Christ. There's a knowledge of the fact that the Spirit of Christ intends to pioneer something. In anticipation of that which the Spirit of Christ intends to pioneer, we gather. So that we can be witnesses of the things that God is doing and eventual partakers of His move. There is something critical that is responsible for apostolic gathering. He says, where two or three are gathered under the influence of my name, under the authority of my name. That's the difficult part. Every time you see the move of God sustained and God makes Himself available again and again, it means we got something right. And what we got right is to function under His name, under the authority of His name. He's the one that calls the shots. He's the one that decides what happens in such meetings. The fact that Christians gather doesn't mean God will come. The place can be flat and dead and people will not know because they are used to their religion. But if you want God to be involved, you must function under the authority of His name. That means the things that you are doing unto the name of the Lord. You are not doing it because that's what we do. You are doing it because He has required that it be done. Those are two different things. They are required that it be done. We know that this is His emphasis. Every moment of preaching is a very difficult moment for me because I need to find out what He's doing. Because if I don't find out what He's doing, my name cannot secure the presence of God. But if I'm doing what He is doing, then He will come to say that I'm the one involved. He will come to provide the evidence that it is my will that is going out. So I have come to make my presence available so that you know that the preacher is not speaking by himself. Where two or three are gathered in my name. Are you following me? I know you are not. But I need to take you on a journey. Because the location where it says that we will be gathered is inside of his name. Inside of it. I know you know the name of Jesus as an instrument by which the believer exercises his authority. I know you know the name of Jesus as the insignia that we get baptized into. You know, in the New Testament, the Bible says that the disciples baptized the believers in the name of Jesus. All right? But you see, the name of Jesus also is a location in the Spirit. And that's why the Bible reveals that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run it into the name. But I'm going to show you how to run into the name. Amen. Because our gathering is under the authority of his name. And our gathering is in his name. Come with me to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Are you there in Philippians chapter 2? In Philippians chapter 2, we have some very deep questions that every believer must be asked. He starts by saying, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. That's the first position. That's the first situation. This man is trying to administer a questionnaire to find out if you have as much as experienced some dimensions of Christ. And the first question he is asking here is, have you experienced the consolation that comes by Christ? Is there anybody here that has lost a loved one? Okay. Is there anybody here that you were doing so well in business and you are not doing as well in business as you used to do before? There was some decline. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here that, you know, some things you were expecting, those things have not yet come? Okay. Alright, so in such situations, what God does is that he administers consolation through Christ. And even though you suffered loss, you suffered a breakdown, you are not broken. Because he consoled you. And you feel every whit whole, even now. So the apostle is administering a questionnaire and he's asking, have you experienced the consolation that is in Christ Jesus? Have you experienced it? Okay, that's number one. Means on the questionnaire, that's a check. Number two. He says, have you experienced the comfort of love? Comfort of love. Have you communed with God to a point where you discover that, oh my God, he loves me. And you are sure of it. So you might go to the office and your boss says, you look nasty. You look crazy. And that doesn't affect you because you know that the person that really needs to love you, he loves you. You see, the basis of your complex, you know, a time came in the body of Christ when pastors became so concerned about who was operating superiority complex and who was operating inferiority complex. Leave the philosophy. Let us teach the people the way of Christ. And if anybody finds security in Christ, he becomes positive. Yes. The secret of your positivity is tied to the extent of security you are found in Christ Jesus. That is the administration that governs the affairs of your life. And any man that has come to the point of understanding that God has made everything available to us in Christ Jesus, just like it is written in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings domiciled in the heavenly realms in Christ. It means that all the resources needed to power your destiny exist in spiritual form and is domiciled in the realm of the Spirit, in the realm of Christ. And it is that administration that is in charge of governing your life. So you just know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's where your complex comes from. Because you understand that you cannot be disadvantaged. The situation can cut everybody up, trample everybody underfoot, but those that have Christ will find an advantage in the situation. And that was what the metaphor of Goshen was about. That there can be peril in the terrain, but in the camp of light, the case is different. Are you with me now? So he says, have you experienced any comfort of love? Have you by any means stumbled on true fellowship in the Spirit? Such fellowship that is like a journey in the Spirit. You travel and you come to a point where you see that the only thing you can do that is reasonable is surrender. Because the ultimate journey of fellowship is to bring you to the altar of surrender. And when you are adequately surrendered, it is God that takes on your battle. You don't need to fight in that battle. So you need to hide yourself before you show yourself. So that the person that rises up to fight you will be fighting what you are hidden in. For the Bible says that you are dead and your life is hidden Christ and Christ in God. So many people might think that you should be brought down. Every attempt will draw them into crisis and chaos. Because you did not just show up. You are hidden in Him in surrender. And every manifestation of yours is according to the sound of His will. So if someone fights you in the will of God, it's not you he's fighting. It's fighting the God of the will. And the God of the will will show up and teach him practical lessons. And I've seen that again and again as I glorify the Lord's name. Hallelujah. The Bible says, have you seen any bowels of mercy? These are experiential things. Times where you messed up, you missed it, and you came to Him. Instead of Him striking you dead, He held your hand and strengthened your feeble knees and raised the hands that were hanging down. He made straight path for your feet so that the man that is lame will not be dislocated, but rather healed. Have you experienced the bowels of mercy? He says, if you have experienced all these things, you have become indebted to Christ because it was His administration that provided it. It is proof of the fact that you have drank from the benefits of His administration. His administration holds in store all the spiritual blessings that have been given to achieve your actualization in your purpose in Him. So if you have experienced fellowship in the Spirit, you have experienced the bowels of mercy, you have experienced the bounties of His love, you have become indebted to Him because it was His administration that was responsible to make sure that even though you were cast down, you were not destroyed. Even though you were persecuted, you were not forsaken. He emboldened His identity with you in the midst of your persecution. So you were persecuted, but you were not forsaken. He was there with you in the fire. He said, if you have experienced this, then you have become indebted to me. Then he goes on and begins to educate us further. He said, let this mind, he said, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. He said, let nothing be done through strife. He said, if you have experienced of the wells of his grace, do nothing by strife. If somebody comes to fight you, don't fight back. Don't fight back in the flesh. Don't respond the way the flesh will want you to respond. Because in your heart is an administration that is going to ensure that you cannot be disadvantaged. So you don't need to fight in the flesh to prove any point. He can manipulate everything according to the counsel of his will. He said, let nothing be done in strife. Let nothing be done in vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Next one. He said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know what he's asking us to do here? Go beyond self. The way of Christ is a journey beyond self. Yes, you have a need. What about meeting the needs of others? God might, that's your own situation that you call helpless, can still meet someone else's need. He said, prioritize yourself in outreach, in reaching out to the needs of others. Sustain that orientation. And there are dimensions of God that will be available to you. Beyond your prayer, beyond your fasting. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So he's trying to tell us the mindset that Jesus had, that his administration today is responsible for supporting all of us and for bringing reinforcement to us. The Bible says, number one, that he was in the form of God, but he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That means he decided to relinquish the compliments that were associated with his rank in the Godhead. His objective was that he wanted to be in a situation that he could serve the will of God. So if it's required that he suspends his omni powers, he will willingly do that in order for God's will to be served. And he decided to suspend the omni powers so that he can be suitable to bring the kind of service, specialized service that heaven was requiring at the time. He made himself of no reputation. That's number two. First of all, he left all the compliments that were associated with his being a member of the Godhead. Number two, he made himself of no reputation. Number three, he took upon him the form of a servant. Number four, he was made in the likeness of men. Number five, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Number six, he became obedient to death. Where are we? Supposed to be seven altogether. Even the death of the cross. It's supposed to be seven. I missed it somewhere, but you get the gist. He kept declining. He kept rejecting his rights so that he could be adequately suitable as an object of service to satisfy the claims of divine justice. Okay, let's go on. Wherefore, this is the result of all of the things he had to die to in order for him to be adequately suitable to serve the will of God. This is the consequence of all his sacrifices. He said, wherefore God also had highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name. That's the first thing. Highly exalted him. One. Then given him a name that is what? Above every name. That's two. This is where I'm going. Please help me read the scripture. Now listen, listen. Do you see that he says that at the name of Jesus? He didn't say at the mention of the name of Jesus, as you normally quote. He is revealing the name of Jesus to be a location here. You are not seeing it. There is a place called the name of Jesus in the Spirit. When you arrive at that place, what you will notice is that you might even have a prayer point that is as big as this broken. But when you come to that place, the place has its own will. It will not recognize your prayer point. Because that's the place where every knee bows. Every will is neutralized. Every tongue confesses. That's the symptom of the fact that you have arrived at that place in the Spirit called the name of Jesus. Just like the Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it, he finds safety. You there? So when you arrive, you see, we can start a prayer meeting and begin to pray. When we arrive at the place called the name of Jesus, which is the requirement that is spelled out in the book of Matthew chapter 18 verse 20. Are you still following what I'm talking about here? Okay. When you arrive at that place, you will notice that everything that was prefabricated, your prayer points, your desires, the things you were hoping to prosecute in the presence of God, they might not even be attended to. Because that place has its own will. There is a government that is active in that quarter. And the best thing you can do when you get there in the Spirit is to bow. There's a monarch that rules in that sphere, that domain. Don't come there with arguments. Come there with surrender. And you are going to make the most of the possibilities that are bound in that realm. Now, I just wanted you to see that the name of Jesus also is a location in the realm of the Spirit. That's where we are headed tonight. That place called the name of Jesus. That is a place that is in the prescription in the book of Matthew chapter 18 verse 20. It says, for where two or three are gathered, where? In that location called my name. When we arrive there, when we gather there, that's where the reality of our gathering must get. Not in London, but in heavenly places. So there's a migration that is taking place. We are moving from London, moving from Lighthouse, and we are headed to a place in the Spirit called what? The name of Jesus. And the way we know that we have arrived at that place is that every knee bows. Everything you consider important might not even pass the test. They may not even attend to it there. I say, house rent! And it doesn't pass. I say, pray for your neighbor. I say, house rent, I'll be kicked out, mortgage. He said, that woman on your street, you need to raise her up. Unknown to you, the woman has 3 days to live. And heaven considers that a great emergency. But you have come with your own emergency. So one knee will have to bow. Is it that your knee bow? But when you come into that space, the space is so rugged, it's so strong, the presence of the king is so powerful there, your knee must bow. There is a demand for your knee to bow there. So it's not every time that your prayer points can pass. And that's why sometimes it takes us time to prosecute a prayer point. If you keep visiting that place, a time will come when your prayer point will feature. Heaven is talking about you. It's okay, your file is here. You're not married. Okay, angels are deployed. Where is the young man? He's in a factory. He's overtaken. They knock him. Something should be happening. Something should be happening in your life right now. God will send angels. God will send angels this weekend. The silence will cease because it's on your case in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I was doing my own business when God began to speak about this damsel that is my wife now. So Glory to God. Glory to God. So we are migrating from London to that place in the spirit called what? The name of Jesus. The influence of the throne of the monarch saturates the whole atmosphere. And the atmosphere is so powerful that it will secure your knees and make them bow. When you allow the monarch rule in that space, then the things you speak on earth, it will be adopted in the heavenlies, because his presence is wherever two or three are gathered. Where? In his name. So what that provision suggests is that there is a possibility for us to actually receive the presence of God. If we are operating under the authority of his name, we can receive the presence of God and trap it down. And the way we trap it is that we begin to do the things that please God. The more of his presence will be coming. Do you understand that? Oh my. More of his presence. Oh Jesus. It's already coming. Yeah. You say it's coming. See, no. But I don't want to yield to that presence yet, because the one I'm waiting for is big. Meanwhile, this is not my message. You can see that this is my research. This is serious. There's serious research here about everlasting life in this. But you see, I've not been able to consult it because I am learning about the shape of the arena that he has created in the realm of the spirit, through which we must pass as a congregation in migrating from London to that place in the spirit called the name of Jesus. Now, you need to study the shape of the realm and know what is needed and know how to make obeisance and how to bow, how to prostrate, how to yield, and then his presence begins to come. How many of you know a snail? Have you seen a snail before? It's so sensitive. It's coming out of the shell. It doesn't know what it will encounter. And when it meets something that is ready to rip it out, it goes back into its casement. The Holy Ghost is more sensitive than a snail. He comes out with caution. Just look up. Every symptom of the flesh. So we bring into captivity every manifestation of the flesh in the name of Jesus Christ. Once upon a time, I remember a conference. We fasted for about 6 months. We were all lean. Our stomachs were flat to the back. And the first man that came to the pulpit, he moved fully in the flesh. And the Holy Ghost ran away. We died. We died. And the place was flat. No presence. In fact, we came for healing, but we left with headache and affliction of cancer. We were exposed. God, Jesus. And towards the end of the meeting, they gave the mic to someone to close the meeting. And the person now sang a song. That was the window. The Lord found the window. First of all, in order for the service not to close, he knocked the man with the microphone down first. Knocked him down. So he was there trying to gather his bones together. When the window, the Lord passed through it. Then I realized that in that meeting, Jesus did not need a preacher. We were just trying to preach. I said, and we're covering the whole place. With the flesh. Because we did not recognize the authority of his name. I'm teaching this carefully so that when you go home, you can simulate the environment. And just in case you have a witch in the neighborhood, the person will pack out and begin to consider buying a house in Stratford. May the Lord give you understanding. So as you yield more, the Holy Ghost comes more out of his realm. Then he begins to become comfortable with our realm. The reason why he's becoming comfortable with our realm is that we are beginning to mirror his dimension. You know, I told you this morning that I met one guy in the city of Zaria. And he met a spirit. And the spirit told him, I want to give you wisdom. The guy said, yeah, I'm interested. And the spirit said, no, you need to come to my level. So he gave him what? pepper. Three strands of alligator pepper. Scotch bonnet. Glory to God. So when he ate it, he had moved high. So he was on the same frequency. The spirit could speak into his head, and he was understanding it, gave him the design of the shrine, and he went and constructed the shrine, giving directives to the carpenters and all the people that worked with him, and they were able to mirror the dimension of the spirit. So if he goes into that shrine and he says the incantation that he was taught, the spirit comes there. The reason is because that shape mirrors his dimension. So when we begin to acknowledge the authority of Jesus in our midst, what we are doing is that we are creating a shape that mirrors the dimensions where the Spirit of Christ is in the heavenlies. So the Spirit of Christ begins to relocate to that thing we are creating. Are you there? And that's what the psalmist experienced, for which he said that the Lord's presence, the Lord's throne, dwells in the midst of our praises. And as we align to him, then he begins to build his throne. His throne starts becoming visible. His majesty starts becoming visible. What we are doing begins to capture his dimension. So his dimension can comfortably sit in what we have created in our alignment with him as an assemblage. And I said that it is possible for us to capture the dimension of angels. Are you there? That was how the temple was constructed. And I wanted to take you to the book of 1 Kings chapter 6 to show you some variables in the construction of the temple. Who is with me today? Are you with me? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You see, when I teach and people understand, the oil comes, the oil. Jesus. I went somewhere, I taught with all the most simple languages I could find, and they no understanding. And you see, in my own delivery, the people need to understand before God will entrust me with more anointing. But that day I met a brick wall. There was no understanding at all. And I was wondering what was going on. I changed my language, changed the illustration, changed the scripture. Then I saw that it was Satan. And he left their mind. Demons were there to pick the thing. Oh, Jesus. We bind every spirit. So when you come into the temple, and that is an illustration of a building, an architectural design, a civil engineering outfit that was designed deliberately to capture realms and capture dimensions. And the same kind of thing happens when we come to gather. I hope you know that temple is an illustration of you. The body, the soul, and the spirit. And God is going to sit in the spirit, but he wants to influence the soul, and he wants to influence the body. I know you know that basically, because Paul says that you are, what? The temple. So, I know you know that. Now, you are the temple as an individual, and we are the temple corporately. So what I'm talking about is we being a temple corporately, it is possible, therefore, for us to capture the dimensions of God in a corporate scenario, which is what we're going to simulate right here today. How many of you drank into what was flowing this morning? And you lost all sense of time. You didn't know whether it was 12 o'clock or 12 midnight. You won't remember that because you are not on earth. You were in heaven. The Holy Ghost has stimulated the atmosphere of heaven. If we had gone further, you would have heard people speaking by God. If we had gone further, encounters will break out here. And you know, we pay for 3 hours. So we can't yield to that extent. We pay rent and it is time based. So if you move like that, then we will need to balance accounts. You know, that's the problem. So that's the problem. So they say, please, you were moving. I said, no, we can't move. Hey, come back. We couldn't move beyond because it will leave our hands. We didn't want that. But tonight we want it, okay? Tonight we want it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when we come together as a corporate temple and we begin to yield as a congregation, what happens is that He begins to come. Our yielding begins to create a shape that mirrors His dimension. He starts becoming comfortable with what we are creating. And when we continue to proceed, as the procession continues, then we begin to experience the dynamics of accessing dimensions. You will notice that in the temple, there were dimensions. The outer court was a dimension. The holy place was a dimension. And in each dimension you come, there are apparatus that are set up. Things like the table of showbread was in the holy place. The table of incense was in the holy place. He's talking about dimensions of prayer. Not prayer that is occasioned by our prayer points, but praying God's prayer. You shift from your prayer points and then you begin to exercise your vocal cord to pray the prayers of God. Pray the prayers that God makes available in your heart. That was what I was doing. Those little exhortations I was giving was to introduce what the prayers that were in heaven. The more you prayed it, the more we got shocked into the spirit. We were ministering before the altar of incense. And the prayers from heaven were coming to us. And as much as we uttered those prayers, we began to glide. Hallelujah. Then we accessed the realm of angels. So I could hear their praise, their worship, all that stuff. And I showed you the book of Luke chapter 1 when there was an interaction between an angelic personality and a physical priest that was in the temple ministry. Because the temple captures the offices of men, captures the offices of angels and angelic beings. So when you come into that realm, you are going to receive angelic ministry. Now, how many of you this morning went far enough and you received angelic ministry? Yes, yeah, so we have so many people in the hall. It was because it was available. Are you with me? It was what? Available. You could hear their voices. You could hear their communication. Sometimes they can speak to you. You can talk with them and have a conversation with angels. And that's what we see in the book of Luke chapter 1. That's why we have the Bible as a guide. Everything you see there is possible. Not just possible with others, it is possible with you. You can have a good conversation with angelic beings. I speak with them almost every day. Don't worry. Okay. The one I normally talk to, the one that comes, he'll soon come here. Then I will start a conversation. You've been in the outer court all your life. And I came to tell you that there are places that you should walk. Corridors that are built to accommodate the offices of men. And so he begins to come out. The realm of glory. The angelic functionaries. A time will come when you can even see the spirits of just men made perfect. Apostle Paul will jump out of the cloud. Oh my. Yes. For the Bible says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. People that run before you are running. Those guys will never be crowned until you finish. So they are all interested in the way you are running. Just like Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus and began to talk to him about his death. He said, we will not have a reward if you don't die well. Elijah is interested. Moses is interested. But you are not with me. You are not following me. You are not following me. If you are a revivalist like myself, if you are like me, then it means that there is a measure of the spirit of Elijah that you carry. It is that spirit of Elijah that is upon you that makes you discontented with religion. Yeah. And sometimes when you are in that atmosphere, Elijah will have to come and address you. Because if you don't win, he will not be crowned. There is a measure of his essence that you carry. And if he doesn't come to instruct you, you might think you are the first human being that is wearing that grace. And you may not know how to order your steps. Education begins on a large scale. We have access to so much spiritual material. How many of you read the book of Songs of Solomon? Let me give you, shock you with a scripture from there. Songs of Solomon chapter 4 verse 4. Quickly, give me on the screen. I want to round up now. I want to show you how the dimensions of angels can be captured, trapped down. So angelic ministration begins. And people begin to hear songs. When last did you write a song? Hey! When last did you write a song? Huh? You wrote one not too long ago. It means you trespass into the corridor of angels because they are singing beings. How many of you still hear songs in your spirit? You pray to a point where there's a full orchestra going on the inside. It means you are spiritually healthy. You can be led by God. It's a sign of spiritual health. Just like I went to the ophthalmologist, they put my head in one machine. The machine was talking. I said, Jesus, where am I? And when I came out, the man said, nothing is wrong with your eyes. I said, explain what happened yesterday. He said, there's no explanation. So I knew the explanation. Demons had visited. But you see, I'm still here. I can't believe. Realms of God. For 30 nights, when I was 26 years old, for 30 nights in the month of April, I had an encounter. And there was a personnel that came to teach me the Bible. Said, have you noticed this verse? In my dreams, so. Then I wake up, I will write what he taught me. Did you notice that verse? Huh? For 30 nights. After 30 nights, I threw away my Bible school notes. Say, what? This is in the Bible? Has it ever happened to you before? Of all the Bible studies you've been doing, you just find the scripture. Say, were you always here? Have you always been around? The reason why your eyes were closed to those scriptures is because every scripture is a gate to dimensions in the spirit. If you have not started doing business in that dimension, that scripture will be hidden forever. When you start doing that business in that dimension, then that scripture will pop up to become relevant. The scriptures you are dealing with is a measure of the dimensions you tread. Think that just studying the Bible from back to back will profit you. It's good. But if you want to profit from the Bible, as you are experiencing God, the scriptures that support your experiences will begin to pop up. It's a journey. And your journey has already been anticipated. So there's a pathway that you're going to walk in. And there'll be scriptures to bear witness of each dimension of the pathway. So that you will know that your ancestors, they walked therein before your time. He comes out. I can feel him sometimes when he's coming out and coming into the room. The majesty comes with the fragrance. Sometimes you are cut off because some angels come with fragrance like jasper. They come with like frankincense. The whole place takes a new perfume. I mean a perfume that if you have living noses, you be able to perceive that this is not my perfume, this is something else. The floodgates are open up. And then the dimensions of God begins to flow in the place. If you are still yielded, it becomes bigger. If you are still yielded, you become stronger. A time comes when cancer dries up. Cancer dies.
And I will bless you, Lord. I will bless you, Lord. How my soul cries out to you, my Lord. I will bless you.
That's what I heard them saying.
I will bless you, Lord. I will bless you, Lord. How my soul cries out to you, my Lord. I will bless you.
And when you begin to migrate into the Holy of Holies, the first creatures you will see are the cherubims. The cherubims always extend their hands, their wings, so that you'll be to protect you from the glory of God. Are you there? Oh. So you see, the angelic realm is coming. Don't worry. I sang their song and they are coming.
Oh Lord, I will bless you, Lord. And I will bless you, Lord. I will bless you, Lord. How my soul cries out to you, Lord, I will bless you. I will bless you. My soul cries out to you, my Lord. I will bless you. Singing, I will bless. I will bless.
You, Lord.
One more time, I will bless you, Lord.
Bless you, Lord.
outer courts, the light that is available is sunlight. In the holy place, you have access to candlelight. Then in the Holy of Holies, you have access to Shekinah illumination. There is a light by which you see from the realm of God, and He will enlighten your eyes in a moment of time. And I'll my soul cry out to you, oh God. People can be delivered right here. There is a place where healing is possible. Don't pray for the sick before you arrive at that place. You've been seeing things and examining things by sunlight for too long. It's time for us to step up higher. We have candlelight options. We have Shekinah illumination options. And when you see from Shekinah, you will see that cancer has no power. You will see that cancer cannot destroy. You will see that the only destiny of cancer is to die. Glory to God. Glory to God. In a moment of time, you want to bring your petitions to God again afresh, because we are going to release His hand in a moment. Lord, this is why I came. There is a lump that has grown on my body, and I want you to attend to it. Okay. That your hand might be stretched forth. That your glory might be revealed. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Alright, listen to me. Listen to the following instructions carefully. Yeah, His presence is here. If you brought someone in here and the person has a deafening condition, all deafening conditions, maybe your left ear doesn't hear. He takes his finger, put in the ear that cannot hear and block it completely. If you have issues with your eyes, you use glasses, you are myopic, remove the glasses, lay your hands on your eye. If demons are tormenting you, you are in the right place. The yoke of the demonic will break right now. God will restore you right now. For those that are in need of deliverance, ushers, when you find them, you bring them to the front so that we can just complete the deliverance right here. People that cannot walk, put your hands on your legs. The spirit of paralysis will be arrested in a moment of time. The power of God will descend. Many things will take place in a moment. Put your hand where the pain is, where the sickness is. Put your hand where the growth is, the fibroid, the cancer, the tumor. And trust God for healing tonight. Yokes will break. Lives will be set at liberty. All kinds of miracles will take place here. Yes. Deliverance is taking place already. If I say in the name of Jesus, give me the best amen you can find. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There is somebody in this auditorium. I see you in the spirit. You have something, a growth on your neck. A growth on your neck. A growth on your neck, and you've been feeling pain on your neck. If you are here, come down quickly. I want to see you. You have a growth on your neck, inside of your neck, not outside, inside. And it's an object of pain. A growth on your neck. Come, we want to see you. I want to see you. Are you the one? Who is helping me? Who is helping me? Pastor Mike, can you find out from her what's wrong with her? If you say amen, it will help me to see into the realm of the spirit to know the cases that people have. In the name of Jesus! There is a woman here that has not been able to sleep for 3 days. Right now you are weak and weary, but you have not been able to sleep for 3 days. Oh woman, where are you? Come out. Come out here. 3 days. 3 days you have not been able to sleep. But you are going to sleep tonight, so come out. And I will bless you. Yeah, woman, are you the one? You've not been able to sleep. What's the problem? Pastor Mike, let's find. What's the problem?
I've been having a series of spiritual attacks.
What do you call it? Spiritual attacks?
Yeah.
And because of that, you have not been able to sleep.
I can't sleep.
Okay. Let's hear from her. You have a growth in your neck?
Mine is a pain inside the neck.
Inside the neck?
Yes, inside the neck, sir. All right.
In the name of Jesus. I see someone here, you have a daughter, a very small daughter. A very small daughter. And a few weeks ago, you were afraid that your daughter will die in the night because your daughter was sick. If you are here, come on. I can see your daughter. Very small daughter. A few days ago, you were afraid that your daughter would die because your daughter was sick in the night. I'm waiting for you, please. Very important. Oh my God. The spirit of death, we're going to banish the spirit of death from your household in the name of Jesus. Yeah, what happened to your daughter?
She keeps, her temperature keeps going 40. She's still got a temperature now.
Okay, no problem. Yeah. What happened to her?
Oh, my daughter, she had a very high temperature. She was having fevers, and I was really scared that.
Okay, no problem. No problem. You are in the right place. So we'll shout amen one more time. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, tonight I bind every sickness. I bind every disease. I bind every pain. I bind every paralysis. I confront every growth in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind every blinding spirit. Blinding spirit, be bound. Blinding spirit, be bound. Deafening spirit, be bound. Deafening spirit, be bound. Come out of the eyes. Come out of the ears. I command the tumors to die. I command the cancers to die. I command the growths to die. In the name of Jesus, I break the yoke of infirmity. In the name of Jesus, every lung condition, every lung condition, give way, give way, give way. In the name of Jesus, every pain that the doctors cannot diagnose, I say give way, give way, give way. In the name of Jesus. I rebuke every pain that is in the bone. Pains in the bone. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Woo! Pains in the ear. Come out in the name of Jesus. Pains on the eyeballs. Come out in Jesus' name. I break every yoke of sickness. Woo! There's somebody in this place. You have a curse on your life. What you call a sickness is a curse. And I break that curse. 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 I break it. It's a curse. Yes, it's breaking. 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 Holy Ghost. Break in the name of Jesus. There is somebody in our midst. You were dedicated to an altar of darkness. And there is a spell that is upon your life. But as I speak right now, I take authority over that spell and that spirit and that altar. I break that yoke. 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 Listen to me, I see the spirit. I see a spirit from the water. Someone's bondage is tied to the water spirit. Now I arrest that spirit from the water. I arrest you in the name of Jesus. I arrest you in the name of Jesus. All times you can find them, those are cases for deliverance. You bring them out here. Yes, the spirit from the water. I arrest you. 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 There are some people upstairs. I arrest that spirit upstairs in the name of Jesus. I command that yoke to break in Jesus' mighty name. I say break in Jesus' mighty name. I say break in Jesus' mighty name. Woo! Listen to me. I see in the spirit. I see in the spirit. Somebody here is to be used for a sacrifice. In the next 14 days, your blood was designed to be used as a sacrifice. And it will come through a certain sickness. But today, anywhere you are seated, anywhere you are standing, I arrest that spirit. I arrest that spirit. I arrest that spirit. I arrest that spirit. Let them go in Jesus' name. Let them go in Jesus' name. Let them go in Jesus' name. Now I command the ears, hear in the name of Jesus. I command the eyes, see in Jesus' name. Oh my God. I command the yokes, break in the name of Jesus. I command the wombs, be open in Jesus' name. Be open in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Remove your hands from your eyes and run the text on your eyes right now. That you have received, I command it to break, to be destroyed right now. The spirit that monitors, the spirit that monitors your life, I destroy its authority over your soul, over your life, in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind it. Let the yoke break. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Depart from her in the name of Jesus. I command your hold upon her soul in the name of Jesus.
Let that go.
In the name of Jesus. I disconnect her from the altar. And the power spirits that have monitored her destiny. Today I say, oh my God, I present the blood. Yes, the blood. The blood. The blood of sprinkling. Now, come. It's on the waist. Put your hands on the waist. This will come out. Spirits here that we need to bind. Are you with me? Are you with me up there? Those of you up there? Oh yeah, oh yeah. There are four spirits we need to bind now, and they are terrible spirits. So stretch your hands towards the front and release fire. Oh!
Jesus,
power!
You, Lord, power!
Lord. Thank
I
you, Jesus.
Yes,
I take authority over you. Have a miracle, there's a healing, something left your body. You can see well now. The pain has gone, the tumor has gone. Where is Pastor Mike? So you will register yourself with Pastor Mike in a moment. Can you wave your hand so that they can see? All right, so that's Pastor Mike. You notice there is a change, you can see. You register with Pastor Mike. Okay? So you go to him, then we'll take your testimony. And I've already seen two eyes that are healed. Already seen this. Yeah. You know, those ladies managing that girl, there is a place I asked you to put your hands and pray for. Who is that? Who did I instruct? She left the duty post. All right. Okay. Can you continue? Put your hand on her tummy. That's where the demon is. And speak in tongues. And in 12 minutes, she'll be free. Just keep speaking. Forget about how she's behaving. Okay? Just keep speaking. Keep speaking. Yeah, she'll be free. She'll be free. Yeah. All right. Okay, so you go to Pastor Mike, then the rest of us will continue. There is a river. There's a river in this place. And there's a river here. And those of you that are participating online, your healing is available if you connect by faith. There's a river. There's a river. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Someone here, you wrote an interview. You received a notification that you were given a job. But it's as if when you went to resume, you were not accepted. Everything did not sail through when you wanted to go and take the job. Where is that individual? You wrote an interview, you passed, you were offered employment, but you are not yet employed. There's something hindering you, we'll just pray and release you. Are you the one? You are the one. So what happened? Find out, no, Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike, let us say what the problem is. You were given a job, but yet you don't have the job. Yes, what happened?
I asked to do it online. They let me do it.
You did it online.
And then they said to me, we are very pleased with your interview. We'd like to invite you to come all the way from Brazil to Britain to take a test.
Okay, you can go. And you then, can go. Yes, go.
And then I traveled from Brazil to Britain, and in the evening I went where the test would take place to make sure that I was in the right place. So in the next morning when I arrived, in fact I was late. I can't explain how, but I was 10 minutes late. And I did the test.
They said you were 10 minutes late.
Yeah. And I couldn't get the job.
Okay. So, do you believe in miracles? Or you believe in miracles? Right. Lord, I give her a job.
Amen.
I know you don't believe me. But, please, see her very well. Show her so that we will know if it is true. So I say, I give you a job. Go.
Amen.
The next time I come to London, we'll look for that face and bring before the screen. And then she will talk. All right. So you have your job. Sorry, I'm tracing some things. Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. Somebody's womb has been released.
Testimony.
Yes.
This is an instant testimony. My daughter has been ill for like a very, very, very long time. She wakes up with 41-42 degrees temperature. We had to take her to the A&E the other day because she was getting febrile convulsions. The temperature was so high. And the funny thing is, she will wake up, she'll have a very high temperature for a few hours and then we'll go. But since we've come to this conference, she's been very, very ill. She woke up, she was vomiting, her temperature's been burning hot. She's been so, so sick. So Apostle prayed for her. I took her back. I think it was like 2 minutes. The temperature disappeared.
Someone needs to say hallelujah to them.
She's tired, but the temperature is not there anymore because she hasn't been sleeping because she's been so unwell. So she's tired, but the temperature is not there anymore.
All right, so we are going to say, Lord, let her sleep before. Yeah, let's sleep. Come on her. So, yeah, you can release her. You can release her. Hallelujah. Yeah, I see someone with a hearing condition that has improved. The condition has improved, so you can see Pastor Mike. See Pastor Mike. All right, while they are taking the testimonies, we'll continue with our deliverance, okay? Continue with our deliverance. Listen carefully. Someone in this congregation, there is an old woman that you normally see in your dream. This old woman has come to you at least 3 times in your dream already. Anytime you have that dream with this old woman, things will start going bad. Things will start going bad. I want to meet you. I want to help you. So if you are the person, you can climb down. I need to meet you here. Okay, you are here. Yeah, so what's your story?
Thank you, Jesus.
Someone with a microphone there, give him an opportunity to speak, okay? No, you can't give him the mic. What's wrong? Come.
I dreamed her have something went wrong. That's one thing. Another thing is I was giving.
Okay, your grandma. All right. Don't worry, don't worry. It's okay. Okay. You were what?
What's that?
You were dedicated to Buddha. To Buddha.
When I was a kid.
When you were a kid.
Yes, and something just went wrong. My grandma.
Okay, don't worry. Let us take you from Buddha. Huh? We want to take you from Buddha, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we destroy every link she has with Buddha. In the name of Jesus Christ. She belongs to you and not to Buddha. And so the power of Buddha is broken here tonight. In the name of Jesus. I cut off that necromancy. That priesthood that brings the image of your grandmother to your dreams, I destroy it in the name of Jesus. And I release you to prosper. I release you to flourish. I release you to be established. And I destroy the yoke of delay on your life in the name of Jesus. Yes, so you don't belong to Buddha. In Jesus' name.
Testimony. Yes. She has been having eye problems since 2007.
Eye problems since 2007?
And
what kind of problems? What does she mean by eye problems? Please,
so,
you may be seated.
I use reading glasses.
You read?
So,
reading glasses?
Yes, since 2007.
So what happened to you? Did you feel anything on your eyes?
Yes, when I read my text on my phone, it's really blurry, and I cannot even see the small print.
All right, come. Come up here. Yeah? Who did I put in charge of this arrangement? Is this, can you hear him?
My mother and I have gone through.
Okay, wait a minute. Lord, in the name of Jesus, oh my God. Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
This is my mother.
Okay, your mom.
And
yes.
My son.
Your son.
So, since when I was 14 years old, I had a demonic attack. And she too, she had the same attack at the same age.
Okay.
Then all of a sudden, we have been having attacks in every 2 months. But last year, the attacks really intensified because she went to the U.S. and met her mother. And her mother tried to perform witchcraft on her. And when she came back, the thing followed me. So each time I've been sleeping, I'm always seeing her in my dreams.
You see your grandmother?
Always in my dreams. And we have not been sleeping.
Come. You have not been sleeping, yes.
Never.
So it may be that it's you that the Lord is talking to me. Come on. Come on. Now, if the Lord does not open your eyes, you will not see how dark darkness is. For the power of Jesus Christ is the antidote to every walk of darkness. Now I arrest that spirit of necrobling this household. That invocation, that priesthood of darkness that has been released to cast a spell on mother, son, and grandson. Today, I say break, 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 in the name of Jesus. Ooh. I see the sword of judgment. I see the sword of judgment. Someone will fall. For your sake, someone will. We release the judgment of God right now to cut down everyone that stands to torment you in the name of Jesus Christ. Be liberated. Be set free. In Jesus' name. Yeah, you can go.
The testimonies.
Yes.
She had a retina problem.
Retina problem.
But she healed now.
Yes.
For how long have you been in that condition?
It happened like over a week ago. You know, it was like some torn curtains have fallen all over my eye, and I couldn't read.
You couldn't read?
I was just seeing like some curtains.
Okay, come. So what happened to you?
Now, it's clear.
It's clear now. Come quickly. Is this the glasses you use? You use them? For how many years now? A long, long time.
Since I was a child.
Okay. Father, we give you glory, we give you praise. So the yoke of manipulation on her eyes, we remove it. We remove it. Okay.
Oh, thank you, man of God. I'm having the same issue as well. Every midnight, especially 3 or 4 a.m., there's an old woman keep coming.
Old woman that comes.
Yeah,
come.
Another testimony here.
Hey, wait, let's... He thinks that his case will be attended to because he's talking. Just like many people think that prayer is informative. Let's tell God because he doesn't know.
Someone was kidnapped, and while the service still continued,
someone was kidnapped.
My national coordinator, I'm an evangelist, so I sent him from Delta State to Abuja for mission purpose. So while we're in the service, I got a text that he was kidnapped from one of my team leaders. So I just told one of my brothers is up there. So we started worshiping God, and I spoke with my other team leaders. They called the WhatsApp group. I just put it on the worship section. We're worshiping God. And 30 minutes into the worship session, I got another text message that he has been released.
We forbid the devil in the name of Jesus. I'm seeing something buried.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's okay. Can you stretch your hands in that direction? There's something that is buried. A covenant a covenant token that is buried, and we're asking the Lord to dispatch angels to dig out that thing right now. Can we pray now? Can we pray now? Sofelai kombraskito barakatala. Brandi sosetombre ketalika dusati. Reko santoria bakaranda babuskete. Priska varamanta kudi akademo kositalando. Loose her from where you tied her. We release her from your grip. In the name of Jesus. Yeah.
Woman for over 3 years.
Over 3 years?
Yes.
Does she talk to you?
No, just through that.
She just talking. Okay. Come up.
Three testimonies are about the eyes for over 10 years. She couldn't see or read.
Meanwhile, we got the testimony. I saw the results myself. Forgotten her name.
Stephanie.
Okay. No, I don't want to put her on the camera. Sickle cell. I saw the documents myself. She's no longer sickle cell. I hope you know it's genetic, and only God can rewrite the combination of genetics. That's creation. And if it were in Africa, maybe the testimony would not be solid, but they saw that it had changed in London, and they detained her to go to Oxford. But she should be detained. And when Oxford finished the analysis, it was the same. She's no longer sickle cell. This is a medical report. She's in this place, sitting somewhere. But I don't know if she wants me to put her in the spotlight. And that's the reason why I have not brought her forward. I saw the documents with my eyes. The report from the first hospital, report from Oxford. I think Oxford is the highest, is the pinnacle of knowledge. And so in Oxford, they confirmed the miracle in Oxford.
Three of them have testimonies regarding their eyes.
Three of them
over 10 years, she couldn't read small print.
Couldn't read
right now.
She can read small print now. Yes. Okay, come.
And for him,
do you have your glasses with you? My God, see how beautiful the glasses are. That's why they don't want to take them off. It's like it's designer. Glory to God. Yeah? Send them in. Come in. Yeah. She also has an eye condition.
She couldn't even see you from top there. Now she can see you.
She couldn't see me from the top, and you could see me from there. All right. Glory to God. I think somebody needs to say hallelujah. Okay. Now this is what I will do. I will touch you just a little like that. But you know, my hand is still on them. I just touched them. But I have the Holy Ghost to leave my hand there. Can we try it again? you touch them like this. Then you ask the Holy Ghost to leave your hand there. I'm teaching you. Do likewise. No, not tomorrow, now. Touch three of them and ask the Holy Ghost to leave your hand on them. Don't touch them with strength. Just touch. Yes? Huh? Okay? It's okay. I ask you. Leave. Don't worry. Calm down. Calm down. Your hand will be left. Don't worry. Trust me. Let his hand be left there, Lord Jesus. Let his hand remain on the people he prayed for. And let it be stronger. 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 Okay, give it time. Give it time. You will see. Can you see that your hand is on this lady? Your hand. It has moved. It's strong on this one. The thing is, do it by faith. Don't doubt. To release. I don't want to do more. Let's. God is more real than human beings. It's more real. Except you remove that hand from her, she will be in that state. You want to remove it? Or let it be there for some time. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah, you are here. Go. Yes. Ooh. You see, something is coming from heaven. It's coming. Well, let's allow it to be so that I can recognize it. Then I will tell you what it is. See, the two realms have merged. We can remain in this atmosphere. People will be getting healed, getting delivered. Sometimes people shout, sometimes they don't shout. Oh, see, the hand is still on. Yes, what happened?
There were two sets of cases you called with people with growth in the neck, and also regarding the jobs.
Job, yeah.
Yes, so we have them.
Come, all of you. You have a job, but you don't have a job.
And it's...
Don't worry, don't worry. Don't explain. Just receive a touch like this. Receive a touch like this. Yes? Can you receive a touch like that? Like this? Yeah, where are you? Come. Receive a touch like this. Okay. Okay, Lord, my hands are upon them. So let your hands remain on them. Let your hands remain on them. Let your hands remain on them. Let it remain on them. Let the intensity of your hands, the intensity of your hand, let it build. Let it build stronger. Let it build. Let it build. Let the intensity increase. Let it increase. Let it increase. Let it become stronger. Let it become stronger. Let it become stronger. Okay, I just put this here. I put this here. Put this here. Then I put this here. Put this here. Yeah, here again. I put it here. I put it here. Put it here. Put it here. Yeah, I put it here. Oh! See, one of you, someone was attacking you. I can sense it. Wait, let me find it. Thank you. block the road. Just stand here. Don't worry, my hand will still remain on you. Don't worry. Why are you disturbing? So you believe that because you told me something will happen? You are still stubborn. Go back. Go. Go. You are stubborn. So just let us stand there. The anointing that is on my hand is for you. I will find that. No, don't worry. Don't worry. I will just wave. I will wave. The person will be. Yeah. Okay. Someone here, the anointing on my hand is for you. So I will wave. I break your power. Loose her. Sometimes I can't see what you're asking. Jesus. No, I didn't call you. Did I call you? I'm trying to see. Jesus, help. Give me a moment. Where is the way up? All right, there's somebody I'm looking for here. Thank you. There's one of you that is drawing an anointing from me. You are drawing an anointing from my head. There's one of you. Yes, it's already coming on you. It's coming. 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 It's for the person. Your Your sight has improved 24 seconds. I'm waiting for you. Your sight has improved in 24 seconds. Your sight has improved in 24 seconds. I'm waiting for you. I will see two people. So I'm waiting for you. Your sight improved in 24 seconds. Receive from my hand grace. This grace will not leave your life. In 6 months, it will enlarge your coat. Thank you, Father. He can read now. He can read. Yeah. 24 seconds. 24 seconds. You don't know your time. I will help you. Let the yoke, oh my God, the cords that were used to tie you, let it be burnt up. She doesn't know she's tied. Loose her. Yeah, it's coming out, don't worry, it's coming out. Yeah. Can you do me a favor? Thank you. broken. Broken. Broken.
What's going on there?
I don't know what's happening. All right, so I will put my hand on you just like this. So anything that is in you will break. Come. Listen. I have an instruction from the Lord.
Who else has a testimony?
Instruction. This doesn't happen very often. If you came here with any child that is autistic, lay your hands on that child now. If you have a grandchild that is autistic, as I pray, mention that name, the name of that child before God. If the child is not here, I didn't ask, you see, you don't know how to follow. Oh my God. Now, don't make God angry and close the window. Did I say you should move? Jesus. See, the window is even going. You see, man is nothing without God. The window is. All right. Can we pray? Maybe God will have mercy. I don't know. Can we pray in the spirit? Just. Jesus. Well, I'm going to pray by faith. I had the anointing for it, but I'm not sure if it's still there. So I'll pray by faith. I command those things moving on your body to come. I see the sorcerer responsible for your affliction. And he has sworn to make your life miserable. But who is he that speaketh and he cometh to pass? But the Lord has not approved. So I make the utterances of the sorcerer a lie. Lucifer! The crown of our head. Let those moving objects be neutralized this instant in the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray by faith because I'm not sure if that anointing is still on my life. So you think that when you speak, then God has said. So your request is that you will see before I come again, you will have it. Go. Go. Yes. Call him on the phone. Give me the phone. Yeah, go. Now I want to pray by faith finally for anyone that has an autistic child. And if you're listening to me online and that's the challenge, trust God for a change. See, but the anointing came for it. I'm no longer sure. Okay, let me pray. Yes, Mr. Atten, can you hear my voice?
Hello.
All right, I want to pray for you right now, and the spirit of paralysis in all its manifestation will be arrested. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break every yoke of paralysis on your son. Spirit of paralysis, hear my voice. I bind you. I bind you. I bind you. Take your hands off. Come out of his body. In the name of Jesus. I command his bones to respond to my voice. Align yourself in Jesus' mighty name. Find out his condition in 30 minutes. Do you have a friend, a neighbor that has an autistic child? Or you have one of such among your children? Or you are listening to me online, there's such a challenge. Mention that name before the Lord right now in the next 2 minutes. The next 2 minutes. In the next 2 minutes, I'll be done and I'll run out. Yeah?
Up here and wrap out the black cloth.
Are all these ones here for what?
These two are testimony.
You will realize that that's my exit group. Yeah. Lord, tonight we wage war against the spirit of autism.
Amen.
We break down your power. We destroy your bondage. We destroy your hold. Loose the children in the name of Jesus. Loose the children in the name of Jesus. You have taken away the ability to hear, taken away the ability to speak, the ability to think and to coordinate. I break your power. I break your power. I break your power. I break your power. I release strength upon you. And I say to you, from now to the next 3 months, let there be phenomenal recovery. Phenomenal. I speak life into your daughter. I speak life into your son. Bring her, bring her. Speak life. Speak life. Speak life. Speak life. No, don't weep, don't weep. It's okay. Not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet. Land. Hear, speak, hear and speak, hear and speak. Yeah. Let the powers of your mental capacity be restored to you. In the name of Jesus. So we are going to use a window of 3 months and check the recoveries that will take place. No tears, no tears, no tears. And the Lord will make for himself a great name. Glory to God. But Pastor Henry, have we violated our time contract? We have. Oh my God, you didn't tell me. I was just high in spirit. Glory.
You have a mighty testimony from last year's conference.
From last year's conference, what happened?
Praise the Lord.
Okay.
The last day of one of the conferences, I received a call from back home that my father was sick. My father has been someone who has been independent. He cooks for himself, drives himself out. He's just about 70 to 80 years old. And all of a sudden, he became incontinent. He was passing feces on the bed. He was urinating on the bed. His feet were swollen. I sent the picture to Pastor Henry because we were really worried. And he was the only one at home. So a few days later, I had the privilege to meet Apostle. And he didn't even... I don't know if it was a two-minute prayer or a one-minute prayer, but he just told me that my father would not die, that he would live longer than 80, 90. That very day, when I went left the office and I went back home, my father that who couldn't move around, my father that could, he drove himself out of the house by himself. Gradually, he began to recover. We took him to the hospital, and they couldn't even find anything that was wrong with him. I just want to bless God for what he has done.
Now listen. The angel of the Lord just came here, and he dropped an anointing on my head. Whenever I sense that, it means that there are several people that are to be anointed. The anointing will come on you. It will come on you. It will come on you. It will come strong. It will come strong. It will come strong. 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 Strong on you. Strong on you. In the name of Jesus. Strong on you. Nothing you call sickness was an attack. But you don't know. I've seen that. And the attack was not just a body level attack, it was an attack on your mind to bring discouragement. It was more of an attack to discomfit you than to tamper with your conviction. Go back, please. Go back in power. Go back in grace. Name of Jesus. Get two of you come. Where is the other lady that came up? There's still another one. You may wish to come. What I will do is I will leave my hand here, like this. Where are you? Follow me. And I leave my hand here. So then my hand will be left on you. Lord, let my hand become stronger on them. And let it intensify. Let the push above of you. I open the Christian Kabaraman Tola. Yes. Receive all you need. Receive all you need. You need a job, if you need grace, you need some anointing, receive all you need. In the name of Jesus, I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. Now I want to release a blessing over your life. Thank you. your coast. So pick one among your children to be his messenger. Grace. Receive enlargement. Receive grace. Expand, increase. In the name of Jesus. Expand, increase. Yes. Come. Now you are going to expand, you are going to increase, okay? Expand, increase. Jesus' name. All right, I want to speak. The Lord will hug me. The Lord will bless. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, so he says that the anointing will come on you. He's going to test you. He's going to test you with a notable power. It's a test. Know that it's a test. I pray that you will not be proud. I pray that you will not be carried away. Will test you with a notable power. Now, see, there's a visitation coming on your life. There's a visitation coming on your life. And grace is given out for you. So you will test you with a bargain. I want to hear him. That's why I took that. But be humble. Be humble. Oh, spirit come upon you in the name of Jesus. All right, can you connect right now? Woo! There's a river here. Yeah. Of London and to say, London, your time has come. Your sons will be prophets, your daughters will be apostles, and the hand of God will rest upon you. I proclaim on your life an open door of the grace of God in the name of Jesus. Part of darkness is giving way. It is your time in Jesus' name. There is an evangelist in our midst, and the fire of God will come upon you. Yes, it will come from two prophets on the balcony, two prophets on the balcony, and the fires of God that descend upon your life. Amen.